Y'all look like the firing squad over there. What's going on? Yeah, I know. It's like if like the mafia's in the house. It's bad enough Doc's in the house. I mean, like, what's everybody else doing? Amen. All right. You got me going on over there? All right. All right. Happy Wednesday to everybody. I love you and appreciate you. We serve an awesome God, don't we? Continue to lift up Brother Mike and the healing power of God be in his body. It's very rare for him not to be in the house of the Lord and especially not feeling good. So just continue to pray for him and God's blessing on him as well as the rest of the body. Well, last time we got together on Battle for the Mind, I don't know how much further I'm going to go. I'm just, you know, everything I just do it by the Holy Spirit's leading. So you may have me for another month on this or just another week. I don't know. But last time we got together, we were talking about for the battle for the mind. By the way, are you getting anything out of this? I'm getting all kinds of reports from folks. It's really blessing them because there's so much battling going on in the mind lately with opinions and politics and prophetic and just life in general. The more you read the news, the more you don't want to read the news. Amen. And a lot of stuff's going on in the world. And so this has been a good teaching. I've been enjoying it myself. By the way, I spoke to somebody by email the other day. I emailed them. They're in the United Kingdom. They listen to our services very faithfully, and I just sent our condolences as a church for what happened over there and sent back a real nice email just in, you know, brokenhearted about what happened in their community, in their country, and thanked us as a church for praying for them. So please continue to pray for the United Kingdom. Amen. Battle for the mind. All right, last time we got together, I gave you this statement. I said, our salvation is a free gift, but our sanctification will cost us everything. Remember, I teach from the principle of sanctification that when you're born again, you are sanctified. That's positionally. Then there is progression, or there's your daily discipleship or being matured. That is another part of sanctification. You are getting further away from the world and closer to Jesus Christ. And finally, the third is the ultimate sanctification. That's when you're in heaven. Amen. You're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, they would say that in the old church. But really, you're being saved. You're being sanctified. You're going through the process of getting closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us, when we got saved, we were not in our right mind when we first got saved. Some of y'all won't even look at each other. Cause some of y'all thinking you still ain't in the right mind. But it's taken us time, and it's taken practice, and it's taken maturity for us to get over some of our things, even from our childhood. Is that right? We still deal with it, even though we're older. And so that's a very important understanding of sanctification. It's not taught very much in Pentecostal realms because everybody wants to believe that they're saved and that's it, and I don't have to do anything else. No, you've got a progression of life. You've got maturity. You've got a time of discipleship, and we don't teach that much anymore. So let's go. Many people are saved but not free, adopted but feel abandoned. Again, this is some of that process, and we were talking about that. We must be willing to let the Word live in us. Remember that? If you work the Word works. You can't have your Bible on the back, you know, of the wind, whatever that thing is in the back there, the back shield of your car, and that's your lucky charms. How many of y'all know people that do that? They've got their Bible there, or they got their Bible in their kitchen or somewhere in the table there in the living room, and that's their lucky charm. That's their rabbit's foot. If you don't work that Word don't work. But if you get into that Word, you open that Word, you study, you live it, you eat it, you breathe it, it becomes part of your daily bread, then that Word will work, okay? So you got to work the Word. Amen. Our part also is to live right. We got to do our part by living right. Remember in James chapter 1, verse 12, talked about the temptation, which was the testing, and then we went further on to being enticed and how that God doesn't do that to us, but the enemy does, and our lust. The lust that we have, the enemy puts bait towards that and draws us towards that. Amen? And so what do we have to do? We have to outwit the enemy by having our lives sanctified, by going through that process of crucification and saying, you know, Lord, I'm crucified daily. I pick up my cross. I die daily. And I say this, Lord, I don't want to participate in these things, so I yield myself to you and not to sin. The enemy knows all about you and I. He's had over 6,000 years to figure man out. But man thinks he's so clever that he can fool the devil. You can't fool the devil. You got to beat him with the word. Let me try that again. You got to beat him with the word. That's the only whooping he knows is the word of God. That's the only whooping he's ever had was from the word of God. Isn't that right? Jesus said it is written. And so we talked about all that. That was pretty cool to see that. And you know, I wish that when I was born again, when I first got saved, somebody taught me these principles and discipled me. But so many times in church, we want to get them saved so we can put another trophy in the case and say, look how many we got saved. But nobody wants to disciple them. Nobody wants to teach the young ladies how to do right, how to live right, dress right. How about make a meal? I mean, it's missing. It's missing today. It's missing. And we want the schools to do it all. I don't think they even teach home economics anymore. Not like it used to be when I was growing up. Amen. All right. So that was last time we talked about being engrafted and the word being implanted and imparted into us and all those good things. So just go back and get the CD or what have you, get your notes out again and restudy that. It was a powerful truth. Last time. All right, battle for the mind tonight. Let me give you, I'm at Jeremiah 13. I don't think y'all want me to go there, do you? Let me just move ahead a little bit over here. just saw somebody fall off their chair in my mind listening to us. That's not a Wednesday night message, is it? Well, it could be. Hey, if the Lord told me to, we'd call assembly and preach it, right? Let me give you these few words that the Holy Spirit gave to me today while I was preparing, and this will help you in this teaching. Listen to this. The mind, which is the thinking, okay, this is the decision part. We're talking about the mind. Remember, the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? We know that Greek word is psuche. But watch, the mind is the garden of the soul. What is your soul? That's your seat of passions. That's the seat of your desires. That's why the soulical man and the carnal man get together all the time and trip you up. You got to be led by the Spirit. Your spirit man must be 1,000 times bigger on the inside than the way you look on the outside. Is that right? So watch. The mind is the garden of the soul. What is planted will grow and produce fruit and a harvest. I'm going to do it again. I know I'm going fast. And a harvest of either blessings or cursings. Listen again. The mind is the garden of the soul. What is planted will grow and produce fruit. And a harvest of either blessings or cursings. So in other words, the mind, when we allow negativity, when we allow the thoughts of the world, when we allow the thoughts of other people, when we allow the lust of our flesh, when we allow the things that the enemy is using as a design to draw us away, if we allow them to stay planted in that soil, in that place of our soul, in the seed of our desires, it will produce, if it's negative, if it's bad, it'll produce a harvest or fruit that leads to destruction. Isn't that right? You know, it's just the way we were when we were, all of us were growing up and we allowed negativity. How many of y'all had older brothers or sisters or somebody in your life who influenced you pretty heavy? I had four brothers. I was a little baby. And I had four brothers who gave me their worst ideals. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And then I tried to do better than they did at being bad. And so, anyways, you know what I'm talking about. And so that negativity, those bad fruits, those bad seeds, all those things produce a harvest. Now, if you have the different understanding and the blessings of God, and you understand the Word of God, and you have the Word of God planted inside of you, what happens? You have a harvest of blessings. This is very elementary and very basic, but so many Christians need to go back to this reality because we wonder why we're depressed, we wonder why we're oppressed, we wonder why we have bad days, wonder why we can't think straight, wonder why we have nightmares, wonder why we can't, is anybody here? Why we can't sleep well, why we can't, you know, there's so many categories of being restless, and a lot of these is because the things we put in our mindset. How many of y'all know if you watch a horror movie, which you shouldn't watch anyways, if you watch it before you go to bed, guess what? I mean, you know, these are basic, simple ideals. But the reality is, what if we began to sow into our minds the blessings of God? We begin to quote Scripture. We begin to read Scripture. We begin to put Scripture on CDs before we went to bed. Or you read the Scripture before you go to bed. Very basic, but so many people struggle, and they don't know why. What's going on in my life? Well, you're sowing the wrong way into the solical man, all right? So it's sowing and it's reaping, all right? So you must decide what seeds that you allow to be sown into your garden. What do you allow in your life today? What do you allow people to speak into your mind? You know, you have people all the time that come up and say, you know, you hate to even say hello to them. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Don't look at your person. I mean, seriously, you hate to say, hey, how you doing? And then it's the green glob. I mean, it's, you know, it's the attack of the tomatoes. I mean, all of a sudden it's just craziness and this and that. And that's all they know to say. And you have to be careful, because if you keep yourself in that mindset of always being negative and being around people who are negative, you're going to end up talking negative. Is that right? This isn't Scientology. This isn't mind over matter. This is the Word of God being sown into your mind, sown into your spirit, allowed to penetrate your life to where the Word works inside of you as you work that Word. All right? So what seeds, what are you allowing to be sown into your garden or sown into the solical part of your mind? All right, the Word of God is the seed that will give you a perpetual harvest of peace. The Word of God is the seed that will give you a perpetual harvest of peace, prosperity, and joy. Remember, prosperity is not dollars and cents. Prosperity, man, is just knowing that you love God and God loves you and everything's well with your soul. That's the greatest peace, I think, and the greatest prosperity and joy you could ever have. So I'll read it again. The Word of God is a seed that will give you a perpetual harvest of peace, prosperity, and joy, no matter the storms of life. You ever get around people who are just strong Christians? They look like Weeble Wobbles. Some of y'all don't even know Weeble Wobbles. Weeble Wobbles, they don't fall down. Boom, you hit them. I tried to knock the stuffings out of them. But it's pretty right. It comes right back. And so you say, why, you know, how, this person, they must be super spiritual, whatever. No, not necessarily super spiritual. It's a person who sticks to the Word of God no matter what situation arises, and they praise the Lord, they declare the Word of the Lord, they say, you know what, I don't care what happens, greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. My God is for me, who could ever be against me? On and on and on, okay? So no matter the storms of life. All right, let's get into the Word. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. These are just some thoughts I wanted to write down and give to you just to start out and kind of feed your faith a little bit and starve your doubts to death. Amen. And I know a lot of it is basic, but so many times we trip up in Christianity because, well, you know, I've been going to church so long, I've been doing this and I've been doing that. And we forget sometimes the basics of what we're called to do. All right. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Tell me when you're there. Let's look at verse 3. Check this out. And thou will keep him in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, the first word I want you to look at is keep, and I'm going to give you the word. It's nastar, N-A-T-S-A-R, 53:41, if you're going to go back and study it, look it up a little more. Nastar, N-A-T-S-A-R, N-A-T-S-A-R, is that okay? 53:41, okay? So go back and study that and just pull this thing apart. But the word keep means to guard, to watch over, or preserve. Now see, when you break this down in the Hebrew and you break it down in the Greek, it gives you a greater understanding of what God is trying to say in His Word and the depth of what He's trying to say. You know, keep's a cool word. Hey, He's going to keep me. But no, He's not just going to keep me. He's going to guard, He's going to watch over, and He's going to preserve. Watch this. And thou will preserve and watch over him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, really what it means in the Hebrew is peace, peace. Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. Peace, peace. All right? When you see something with a double enunciation like that, that's very, very powerful of what God is trying to say. So thou will keep him in perfect peace, or peace, peace. Now we know the word shalom, we know what it is, but here it is, 7965. Again, in your study time, pull that apart, check it out. It means completeness, completeness, soundness, tranquility. Man, how many of y'all like some tranquility in your life? Peace over war. That's powerful right there. Go look this definition up. Peace over war. That means if you have war in your mind, if you have war in your marriage, war in relationships, war in your life, he gives you peace over war. He speaks to that peace or to that war and he says peace. He speaks to that storm and he says peace, be still. And then finally that word means covenant relationship. So let's look at it again. Thou will keep him in peace, peace, perfect peace, shalom, shalom, total completeness, soundness of mind. I'm telling you, there are so many people today who are searching for soundness of mind, just some type of peace in their life, and they're in church tonight. They're in church today. They're in church. They're believers, and they can't find the shalom, but he says, I'll give it to you. Watch. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, everybody say mind, his mind, the mind is set or is stayed on thee. Notice that. The thoughts or the imaginations. Thou will keep him, guard him, preserve him in shalom, shalom, soundness, covenant relationship, tranquility, whose mind, whose thoughts and imaginations are stayed on thee. Let's break the word stay down. It is samak, C-A-M-A-K. Remember that the pronunciation is always different than the spelling. Samak, C-A-M-A-K, and that's 5564. Man, I love breaking the word down because it helps me. It helps me understand, and it lets me see the depth of what God wants me to understand about his word. He cares so deeply for us, more than we recognize. So you have that word? It means to lean, to lay, rest, or to be braced. That will keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom, whose mind, his thoughts, his imaginations is stayed, is leaning, is resting, is braced upon what? Thee, him. See, I'm going to be braced. I'm going to lean on him. People say all the time, man, you lean on God too much. Or people, you ever had that happen in your life? You lean too much. He's your crutch. He's all these different things. Absolutely, that's scripture right there. I lay, I rest, I take my mind, I take everything about myself, my imaginations and my thought, and I rest it on him. Watch. Because he trusteth in thee. The word trust is betach, B-A-T-A-C-H, B-A-T-A-C-H. That's 982. So I'll break it down, then I'll teach the whole thing at one shot. Okay, Batak, you have that, 982. It means confidence, bold, secure, to feel free, and I like this one, to be careless. Now that just changes everything. Watch it. Thou will keep him, preserve him, protect, guard, watch over, in complete soundness
in complete covenant relationship, in tranquility, the person whose thoughts, their minds, their emotions are braced, or they're resting in him, why would I rest? Why would I lean all the weight of my life on him? Why would I lay all my issues of life on him? Because I have confidence in him. Because he trusteth in thee. I have confidence in him. It's like sitting in a chair. You have confidence in that chair tonight that's going to hold you up. There are people that have more faith in a chair than they do God. They have more faith in the fact that that chair and everything around them that man built will secure them and hold them and help them than they do in God, who created everything and gave man wisdom to build that chair. That's what he's saying, man. My mind, my emotions, my thought patterns, my everything, I trust in him. I lean on him. I know he's going to take care of me. I'm confident, and I'm to the point I'm careless. You ever notice children, man? They have no fear for the most part. I mean, they just, you know, they run around with scissors in their hands. How many of y'all remember you were told not to do that? But I mean, children, man, they're just like, woohoo, let's do this thing. Let's just go for it, man. They go, you know, they get on a bicycle and they make ramps. Mine don't do that because I ain't gonna let that happen. But you know what I'm talking about. You see neighborhood kids, they make ramps. I mean, it's high and they Clay must have done it. He's shaking his head back there, but you know, I'm looking at it today and I'm like, don't, you're going to get hurt. But look at that. Look at the word batak. It means confidence, bold, secure, to feel free, to be careless. See, when we really begin to put our mind on him, when we begin to put our thoughts on him, when we allow good thoughts to be sown into our minds, we'll be careless about the world. We're not going to worry about these things. We'll have complete faith. How's he going to pay the bills? He's going to take care of it because he's awesome, man. I'm trusting in him. I'm not going to carry the weight of the world on myself. I'm going to lean it on him because I know that's a fence that never falls. That's not a wall that's going to lean into. He's not going to crumble under the weight of my issues. Shouldn't we do this daily? Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep you in perfect shalom, perfect relationship with him, perfect peace. The peace that what? Passes all understanding. I don't understand how God's going to do everything, but you know what? I got peace that passes my understanding. Isn't that good? All right, so what does that do when we have that? When we have that confidence, it gives us boldness. And that's what we need today. We need boldness in our lives to be able to go out and minister. Just like the children, again, when they went out there and evangelized. Door opened up, they're in there, they're ready to go, man. They're ready to witness, they're ready to knock on the doors and all that. And the adults are the ones back there shaking their knees. Except for Miss Dana, she was like, I'm ready to go. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? That's fearlessness, that's carelessness. It's like whatever we need to do. Why? Their mind is, it's fixed. They know everything's going to be fine. Of course, it took them 14 weeks to train them that way, but still. It takes some of us 14 months to go knock on a door. You get my point. All right, so let's go to 2 Timothy, and let's go a little further into this. So that's an awesome scripture. Take time and go study it some more. Look at those Hebrew words and just pull out some more truth and understanding and allow the Holy Spirit to broaden that teaching for you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is this okay? Nothing wild, but just to round some of this. Well, that was pretty wild over there. She just fell out of her chair or something happened over there. Wow. When you least expect it, right? Just messing. All right. Tell me when you're there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, man, I want to read it all, but let's go to verse. Let's look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Okay? You're in that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Here's verse 7. This is where I want you to go. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we're to be bold, right? We're to be as bold as lions. Look what Paul says to Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, the word for fear there is timidity, fearfulness, or cowardice. Timidity, fearfulness, or cowardice. He has not given us the spirit of fear. Though we have that natural emotion in our lives, when something comes up that we're not accustomed to, or we don't have a strong handle on, or when a tire is about to blow out when we're driving from Texas to here, Miss Helena, is that right? That fear comes on you. But that is a part of the natural emotions of man. But God hasn't given us that spirit of fear that makes us timid, that makes us a coward. We're not cowards. We have strength in the Holy Spirit. Is that right? So he didn't give us that spirit of fear, but of power. Everybody say power. Of course, we know that word in the Greek is dunamis, dynamite power. Okay? I've given you that word so many times, you should have it in your notes. Go back and look it up. Dunamis power. So we're not cowards, but we have dynamite power. Or reproducing power. That power is always at work in us. We always have that available to us if we'll just call upon that power within us. Okay? But of power and of love. Of course, that word would be agape, God's kind of love. We have the God love inside of us. Okay? So he said, I haven't given you the spirit of fear to be timid, to be a coward, but I have given you dynamite power and my kind of love. Amen. Now remember, these are the attributes of a Christian's life. These are the attributes that you and I have that when we walk in this life, we need to use them, utilize these weapons, utilize these tools when we face whatever we face in life. And it sounds so easy, sounds so basic, but a lot of people, when they get into trouble, that's the last thing they remember is the Word of God. The first thing they remember is the pastor's phone number or someone they know who prays a lot, or grandma or whoever. Is that right? You see, my perspective of that is I want you to first go to God. There are things that you can't do on your own. You need somebody else to pray with you. Absolutely. But in the beginning, in the initial stages, you got to go to God. Amen. So he didn't give us this spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Now, I love this part here. A sound mind. It means this, to restore to one's senses. To restore to one's senses. He gave us a sound mind. It also means moderation. Moderation. So we didn't get a spirit of fear, but we've got power, we've got love, and we have a sound mind to where we are restored to our senses. What kind of senses? Our God senses. To the senses of relationship with Him, the senses of doing what's right and shunning that which is wrong. Okay, and then moderation, which we know that deals with self-control. A lot of us would be so much better in life if we had just a little bit of self-control. Just a wee bit. Even people in the church. Okay, this is all about the battle for the mind. This is what are you allowing to be placed in your mindset? What are you allowing to be placed in your thoughts? Because look, he said, I give you a sound mind, self-control, disciplined, calm,
Need to underline that one. Calm and well-balanced mind. That's a long definition. To restore one's senses, moderation, which deals with self-control, discipline, calm, and a well-balanced mind. I'll tell you right now, we're missing that in the church for a lot of folks that have their minds are not balanced. They're halt between two opinions. They're halt between going out in the world and living fancy free, but yet they have enough of a conscience, they want to do right, and they don't want to go to hell. So they go to church, and they at least carry their Bible, and they got a gold necklace on with a cross on it, and all these different things of religiosity, but in their mind, they're so far from God. They serve him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And that's the imbalance. It's bipolar inside the church because we can't choose. We can't decide right. We don't do right. We make our own decisions based on the flesh instead of asking God, God, help us to do the right thing and guide us. Well, how do we do that? We do that through a sound mind. Remember, he hasn't given us that spirit of being a coward. He's given us that power and that love and that soundness. Everybody see that? So it restores to one's senses self-control, discipline, calm, and well-balanced mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to have a peaceful walk with God. Even in the midst of spiritual warfare, even in the midst of end-time realities, I want to have a peaceful walk with God. I want to have the soundness of my mind. How many of y'all ever been in a time of confusion? I don't have to raise your hand, but all of us have had times of confusion. You don't know which way to go. Man, things are hitting you from the left, the right, the north, the east, the south, and the west. I mean, you're just getting attacked from every area. Well, God says, I'll give you that soundness of mind. I'll give you the ability to have a calm and well-balanced mind. How do you get that? I'm going to give you two ways. Number one way is through the Word of God. The Word of God balances you. The Word of God balances your mind. The Word of God is the ability to defeat the enemy when he comes against you with fiery darts and thoughts that are just crazy. Because I'm telling you, when you're in your time of greatest confusion, that's when the devil starts just throwing and lobbing artilleries of craziness. And you just, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I guess I'm the only one confessing tonight. But you're just down and out, man, and you're thinking all crazy stuff. Next thing you know, man, you're fixing to move to Alaska. Well, I'll just show everybody. Maybe it's just me. I'll show them. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then I'll prove to you and whatever. And it's unbalanced. We see it in our youth today. They're making radical decisions, whether it's something to do with their gender or whether it's something to do with their life. They're making crazy decisions, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not just there's a devil loose. We ain't teaching them the Bible. We're not training them up a child in the way they should go. We're not training them up in the back rooms. We're not training them in our youth ministries. We're not training. We're not discipling parents. We're just saying, get saved. Let's put another number on the wall, and there you go. Instead of holding my hand and taking them and discipling and saying, this is what the Bible says about this. We're not trying to give you rules and regulations, but honey, you need to dress a certain way. You need to live a certain way. You need to watch certain things in your life and stay away from evil things. But we don't do that because now we are considered religious and we're beating them up over the head with the Bible. Well, I would rather be considered that than to be a person who enables them to go further in sin. See, we got to forget about this political correctness in the church and what everybody thinks and what, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just who cares what you think? If it's in the Bible, we're going to live the Bible way. I'm telling you, man, the church outside of America, they don't allow 90% of what goes on in the American church, in their churches, in their culture, in their lifestyle. They don't. We call it tolerance. We call it political correctness. We're going to be really nice. We don't want to hurt anybody's feeling because they may not come back. We're not talking about being brash and beating somebody up. What we're saying is this is what the Bible says. This is going to help you with your addictions. This will give you sound mind, a well-balanced mind. Listen, the battle that you and I face today is for your mind.
Because if the devil can steal your thoughts, he'll steal your control. He'll steal your passions, and he can steal the way you go in life and your destiny. Because the mind is the steering wheel of your life. If you don't have a healthy mind, you're not going to have a healthy life. Because you'll always make the wrong choices because your mind's polluted. Please go back for a minute to your sinner's days. Don't go too far. But think how crazy you thought. Today you wouldn't even dare think about that. You wouldn't even think about doing some of the stupid stuff you all did. John did. John and Doc did. And Tony was in the back seat. He's probably driving. We wouldn't even dare go back to them ideals. My point is this. In our walk with God, we must fill it with the Word. We must fill it with the good things. We must fill it with His desire, what He thinks about us, so we don't go back to that crazy thinking. So we have well-balanced minds and a well-balanced life. Because I'm telling you, there's so many jacked up people in the church, so many messed up people in the church, because they just don't think right. And I wonder to myself, do you even read the Bible? You must not read the Bible, or you're not studying the Bible, or you're not partaking of the bread of life. Something's wrong where you're not seeing the same page I'm seeing. Because look what he said. He said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So why are you afraid? Why are you being a coward? Why are you timid? He didn't give it to you. So cast it off and say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of knocking on doors. No, I'm not going to be afraid of answering my door tomorrow. I'm not going to be afraid to go to the mailbox and find that bill. I'm not going to be afraid to go to my job tomorrow. I'm not going to be afraid to do this or do that. So many people live in insecurity because they don't know that God says, if you just put your mind on me, if you just lean on me, if you just brace on me, woo, I'm going to give you carelessness. You don't have to worry about anything. Wouldn't you like a life like that where you just walked around not worrying about much? You can have that kind of life. I don't mean carefree to where you give a rip about anybody. I'm just saying, man, you just, when things hit you, just like Teflon. It's Kevlar. Just bounces off of you. It's like a bulletproof vest. See, people don't think you can live that way. You can live that way if you have the sound mind. Because the first thing the devil wants to do is throw a fiery dart to your mind to freak you out and get you off your steering wheel. Isn't that right? Happens all the time, doesn't it? We're on top of the world, man, just got paid, got a little bump in our pay, got a little extra, something happened, man, it was really good. Maybe the accountant was on NyQuil that night and messed up and you got a good paycheck. You know what I'm talking about. Everything's going good. And now you're driving down the road, man, everything's wonderful. All of a sudden, that one fiery dart, bink, right in your head. It could have been about some curly cue in the past. It could have been something going on, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you went. Let me do that in Spanish. For those around the world. Like a balloon, man. The air goes out. Everything goes out. And then all of a sudden, your steering wheel, you were doing so good. You were headed so straight with God, and you were praising Him. And next thing you know, fear crept in or whatever. Now you got to think about the bills and how you're going to divide. And then you got to pay your tithe. Can somebody just look at me and just move an eye muscle? It's the truth. Well, how do you defeat that? You have a sound mind, and you take every fiber dart and everything the enemy throws against you and say, no, man, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to walk in that. I have a sound mind. I am not timid. I'm not a coward. I'm not fearful. I'm careless. I am fearless. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. How do I know that? Because it's in the Bible, and I read it, and I sowed it into the garden of my soul. And my passion and the seed of my desire, which is the suke, is for God and not for the world. Awesome, man. Awesome. I remember growing up when I got saved, older in life, but I got saved, and I remember church folks, man, that were just rock solid. They were always whistling and singing, and everything was fine with them. And, you think they were multimillionaires. They weren't. They were either widows or widowers, and they just loved God, and they knew everything was already secure. I remember that has a deep impact on me. I want to live that way. Because in the last days, you're going to have the soundness of mind. Because the Bible declares that men's hearts will fail them for fear for things they're going to see. Listen, we got to have the stablest hand in the room when it all comes down. If we're falling apart over a light bill, if we're falling apart over an auto payment, if we're falling apart over something that somebody said to us, we ain't going to go too far helping people. I didn't get too many amens out of it. You understand? And that's what the devil's trying to do. The devil's trying to get a phone bill to distract you from the weightiness of the riches and glory in Christ Jesus and the blessedness of faith. There's such a realm of faith we have yet to go into as the body of Christ, but we're so concerned about little bugs on the windshield. Bink, 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 that we're staring at them instead of seeing the big picture. And having a sound mind will get you through any storm. But you don't get that sound mind until you read the Bible. You speak the word of God. You declare the word of God daily. Y'all staring at me as a calf looking at a new gate. Move. I'm trying to lead you through. But it's the truth. Tony said, they just listening good, right? Hey, man, I want you to be victorious. I don't want you broke down on the side of the road of life over a phone bill, over something happened, your dog ran away, or your something crazy happened in your life. I'm telling you, there's people disabled in the body of Christ over some of the smallest crisis. And I'm not making fun of anybody's crisis. Believe me, if your dog ran away, I feel for you. Unless he was a mutt or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. And this is a basic teaching, but this is the teaching the Holy Spirit wanted me to release, because the reality is some of us don't do good with the little foxes that spoil the vine. Some of us don't do good with the flies in the ointment. Some of us don't do good with these little things in our lives, and we want to do great things for God, and we're being so distracted. You got to have the soundness of mind. How do you do it? I lean on Him. I give it all to Him. Well, what if I die? You're going to go to heaven. You ain't got to pay taxes no more. See, we got to have that in our lives. So, number one is the Word of God. You got to meditate on the Word of God. You've got to continuously have it sown into the garden of your soul, into your mindset, constantly the Word of God. Now, I teach this in ISM, and you've heard me say this before. But any area that you're struggling in your life, get a word on it and put word pressure on it. If it's finances, find everything you can about the word of God and wrap that thing up with a tourniquet of the word and speak it. If it's healing, you need healing in your body, find everything you can about healing and wrap that thing up. Wrap that disease, that issue up in the word of God, and don't let up no matter what it is, okay? All right, so let me give you the second thing. Let's move on. Go to Jude. Who? Jude. People are like, what's that? That's the Apocrypha. He's reading out of a... No, it's the Bible. I love the book of Jude because there's some powerful truth in that very short book of the Bible. Amen. He tells a lot of good stuff there. All right, let's go. Jude. Now, I want to show you another way that you can get the soundness of mind that God wants you to have and wants me to have. Jude chapter 1. You know why we're going to go in Jude chapter 1? Because there's no chapter 2. And if you have a chapter 2, I need to see your Bible in you right after service. Because somebody ripped you off at the bookstore. Give me about another hour and I'll get out of your way. Watch this. Jude chapter 1. Let's look at verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? Remember. 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 That's important. You need to remember. In other words, go back and rehearse. One of the problems with being a Christian in church for all these years is you heard it all. And because you heard it all, you think you know it all. And you don't. Because I don't. As much as I read this, much as I studied, and blah, 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 I don't know anything. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they that separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Okay? Stay away from those who are sensual. Where will they be? In the last days. There'll be folks in the house of God who are sensual. Is that right? People in your workplace who say they're believers, but all they talk about is natural things, carnal things. You never hear about a prayer meeting. You never hear about them fasting. You never hear about asking them to pray or anything like that. It's all carnal. Does anybody work with somebody like that? But ye beloved, watch this. But ye beloved, talking to you, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So point number two, how do I fix my broken mind? How do I fix this thing that's going on in me? Number one was the word. Number two is praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Okay? If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in the tongues, you can be. It's a simple gift that's been given to you. It's a promise to everyone who's been born again. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. And anytime you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you just come see me and I'll lay hands on you. Amen? But watch this. Watch this. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up. That word is 26. And I just gave you the numbers. I want you to study it out. It's a long word. 26. It means to build upon. So let's look at it again. But ye beloved, build upon. Who's going to do it? The preacher? Yourselves. Not me. I can't build upon what you already have inside. I can by teaching. I can lay planks. I can lay foundational truths. But you're the one that has to build yourself. Building up or building upon yourselves on your most holy faith. Okay. Now, another word is 3618 when it deals with build upon. You'll find all that building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You'll find both of these words right in there, 2026 and 3618. Here's another definition. This is really cool. Restore by building. Restore by building. Or to build a house. Another word is to build upon. So just in that little bit of that scripture, this is what he's saying. He said, get away from the sensuality. Get away from the carnality. Get away from those things of the last days. Remember what the apostles said. Remember what the Word of God says. And as you do that, you remember what was said in the Word of God. Build upon that. Build upon that foundation. Build upon that truth. Build upon that and restore your inner man. Restore that building, if you will, through praying in the Holy Ghost. Another word for the building is edifice, like a tower. I'm going to tell you something. I feel like a giant killer when I pray in the Holy Ghost. And I pray in the Holy Ghost every day. Every day of my life, I pray in the Holy Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost here and you're listening to me by the sound of my voice, you need to pray in the Holy Spirit every day. You don't get a break from praying in the Holy Ghost because I need the Holy Spirit's power. I need to regenerate my spirit, man. I need my mind to be built again. I need to build upon the foundation of the Word. So if I take the Word, which is my foundation, and I begin to build upon it by praying in the Holy Ghost, Do you see how big you become? Do you see how strong you become in God? I'm telling you, this is powerful, and we lack it in the Pentecostal charismatic church because we have a misunderstanding of tongues. We have a misunderstanding of your prayer language. We have a misunderstanding that you can pray at any time and just enjoy your prayer language and sing songs to God, a new song. Some people have the same prayer language they had 20 years ago. God will give you a whole new prayer language if you press in hard enough. Amen. So we're going to build upon. Now here's another definition. I'm going to leave you with this. I've already gone over my time. Watch this. To build towards the finish of the structure for which the foundation has been laid. To build towards the finish of the structure for which the foundation has been laid. What is the foundation? The Word of God. My frame inside of me, my spirit man, it is being built. And as I pray in the Holy Spirit, the Word of God that's within me and the power of the Spirit that begins to rise up within you and truth rises up within you, you become stronger, you become bolder, you become careless, you become carefree, you're fearless. Why? Because all of that dynamite power, all the love, the agape of God and the soundness of mind, are everything's just kicking together. And man, you're a powerful, powerful believer if you just practice what I'm telling you. This isn't for the man with slick hair and shiny shoes carrying a Bible and a microphone. This is for you. He said, beloved, are you beloved? Then we have to do this. So in my closing, get the Word of God in you. Speak this word. Declare it. Prophesy it. I tell this to ISM and others when I teach on the Word and prayer. If you don't have CDs of the Bible, go buy them. For all that junk you're throwing in at the drive-thru, after about one or two visits, you can own the whole Bible on CD and put it in next to your bed. You can get the app for free on some phones and computer systems. And let the Word of God play while you sleep, because it speaks to you. God's a spirit, and He doesn't sleep. You're a spirit, too, inside, and you never sleep either. Not your spirit, man. So could you imagine what's happening? Some of y'all looking at me crazy. Can you imagine the strength that's happening and what God is doing in you and through you? And then when you wake up, you'll be quoting scripture you didn't even, you're like, what in the world, where'd that come from? Well, God deposited something in you while you were sleeping. Amen? And then the second thing is to act upon that word by praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in your natural tongue, just praying and saying, God, I bless you for your word. I bless you that I have a sound mind. What are we going to do? We're going to build towards the finish of the structure. I'm building inside of me the image of Christ. Amen? You're building the image of Christ inside of you. It is your obligation to do that. It's not the preacher's obligation. I can't do it. I can lay hands on you all day long. But you got to do your part. Amen. Battle for the mind. We got the victory. Father, love you so much. Thank you for this opportunity to speak this word. Help us to recognize and realize that we need to sow the word of God into our lives. Father, we can't help what people say to us, but we can help what they continuously say to us and the negativity of our life, Father. I just ask now that you would raise us up and help us to build ourselves up by praying in the Holy Ghost, so that we can finish that work that you've called us to do. Thank you for a sound mind. We love you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Woohoo! Woohoo! Woohoo!